Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning Hilchos Shulchan Aruch Evan Ha'ezer Hilchos Puravu. We're now going to talk about two topics that are both based on the same Gemara. The first topic is going to be the quicker one, and the second will be a little bit more involved. The first topic that we're going to talk about is, can you have a temporary marriage? Meaning, if everybody agrees that we'll be married for a week or so, does that work? Or is that a problem? The second topic that we're going to talk about is, it's going to sound not nogea, but we're going to see that it is actually very nogea halacha lemaisa. The second topic that we're going to speak about is, can you have a wife in one city and a different wife in a different city? Now, I know you're going to say, what do you mean? You can't have two wives. That's true. You can't have two wives simultaneously, but we're going to see some circumstances where that is actually going to be very nogea lemaisa and very practical. So let us begin with the first shaila. The first shaila, can you have a temporary marriage, is going to be, let me share my screen with you. We're going to start with the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos tells us the following. Just adjusting my screens, please. Okay, the Gemara Yevamos says the following. Amar Reb Elazar Eliezer ben Yaakov. Again, we're going to have two halachas coming out of here, and we're going to deal with them both together because we're going to see one piece of Gemara. Amar Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu. V'yelech v'yisa isha b'medina acheres. It's not okay. It's not okay to be married to one wife here, and then you travel somewhere else and you marry another woman there. So what's the problem? So interestingly enough, the concern is not that your wife is going to be unhappy. That's a different issue, and that you have to work out with her, or not work out with her, depending on the dynamics. The issue is, Shemi is davgu zelase. Maybe your son from one wife and the daughter from another wife living in a different city won't know each other, and they'll meet at they'll have some very common, some common interests, because, hey, they're genetically, half connected to one another. They'll meet one another, they'll start dating. God forbid, it will come to a terrible situation. The boy grew up in Cincinnati, the girl grew up in California. They meet at on a campus, they meet at Brandeis, and they fall in love with each other, they get married. Little do they know that they share the same father. And that's the terrible a terrible thing that could come out. And therefore, Chazal say, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, that it's entirely usur to have a wife in two different locations. Asks the Gemara, really? Really? You're telling me that you can't have a wife in two locations? I'm going to show you, look at the blue, I'm going to show you two great Amoraim, whose names we are well familiar with, who did exactly that. V'harav, ki ikla lidar deshir, when Rav would go traveling, and he didn't want to be without a wife for any bit of time so that he shouldn't come to any inappropriate thoughts or anything other than his wife, they would announce that the great Rav is coming. Would anybody like to marry Rav for the week that he'll be here? Wow. Wow. Machriz v'amar, they would announce, man hav yoloyoma, who would like to, the zechus of marrying Rav for the day, meaning for the week that he'll be in Dar Dashir. Not only that, Rav Nachman, the great Rav Nachman, ki ikla l'kshintziv, when he would come visit that city. Also, machriz v'amar, they would announce, man havi yom, who would want to marry me for the day, or who wants to marry the great Rav Nachman for the day, for the week that he's here. So, I mean, just to put that in perspective, we have to realize that they weren't doing it because, hey, choke up another woman. It wasn't about that. It was a matter of the purity with which they wanted to maintain themselves and not to, God forbid, have any thoughts even possibly being away from their wife. Like, we know that a wife is matzil a person from anything inappropriate. So they wanted to maintain that level of purity and therefore make sure that whatever they would have would be directed only to a wife who's a proper wife, kedas v'chadin. So we have two stories for the great Amoraim from Rav, the greatest of Amoraim, that presumably he has a wife at home, wherever he lives, and he has a wife in the city that he's visiting. So how could you tell me you can't have a wife in two locations? He had two wives. This was before Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. of course, which happened, you know, 500-600 years after Rav lived. 500 years after Rav lived. Rabbi Gershom, maybe not 500, 350, a few hundred years after Rav lived. And you see that there were wives in multiple locations. So how could that be? Answers the Gemara, Shani Rabbanon de Pekia Shemayhu. If you're a big rabbi, the halach is different for a very specific reason. Look at what Rashi says. What happens if you were zocha to be the wife of a great tzaddik? For a short amount of time, but you were zocha to be the wife of a great tzaddik, the greatest of the great tzaddikim, for a week, for 2 weeks. And you had a child from that. You know what you're going to name that child? You're going to name that child in a way that displays the fact that he is a child of the great Rav, or the great Rav Nachman. And therefore, everyone's going to know he's going to carry that name, whether you're going to call him by his father, by his genetic father, who's the great tzaddik, or you're going to call him Yankala ben Rav, Yankala ben Rav Nachman. Of course, this is the great, he has great yichus. You're going to name him with that yichus, especially you only had him for a week as your honored husband, and you're going to have a child from that union. So you're going to name the kid either his first name or as Ben. He's going to be well known having that last name of being a child of the great tzaddik. Says Rashi, "De pekiyei kulei alma b'shmayhu." Everyone's going to know his name, their names. V'korin lebito al shmo. Oh, even if he has a daughter, right? Let's say you have a daughter, this wife who chooses the honor of marrying Rav or Rav Nachman for that week, and she has a daughter from this union named Sprinza. So the girl's not going to go by the name of Sprinza Klein or Sprinza Friedman. She's going to go by Sprinza ben Rav or Sprinza ben Rav Nachman. And if Rav's son from his, you know, from his regular house, or Rav Nachman's son from the other house, is going to come and they'll meet up in Brandeis or wherever else they'll meet up, Yishma Shehi Bas Aviv. He'll know, your name is Sprinza Bas Rav, or Sprinza Bas Rav Nachman. I'm also Rav's son. I'm also Rav Nachman's son. We shouldn't be dating. We shouldn't be going out. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned when a very famous person has a second wife in a different location. We don't have to be worried about a wife in a different location that the children will come to marry each other, because the children of somebody who's very chashuv always keep that name, that pedigree in the literal sense of the word, the name of the family from who they came or the father who they have, if their father is a chashuv, a well-known person. And therefore, there is an exception for an Adam Chashev, not because, oh, he's a big rabbi, he could do what he wants, but rather for an Adam Chashev who's well-known. You know, it sounds to me, you know, I don't want to, you know, mix politics or whatever, but let's say your last name is Kennedy. Your last name is Kennedy. And you want to have a second wife, and you're Jewish, and you want to have a second wife somewhere else. Well, if your last name is Kennedy, so every kid is going to be named Kennedy also, because it's a good name. It's good for getting to Harvard. It's good for getting to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton if your last name is Kennedy, right? And if you have a last name Rothschild, so everybody wants to marry a Rothschild or something like that. So you got to keep that last name. So if you're a well-known person, that the child is going to carry that name, who, so that we don't have to worry that there's going to be this boy from here, this girl from there, really sharing the same father, so we don't have to be worried about it. Continues the Gemara. Now, the Achronim, I'm not going to go into the Achronim, go into a discussion, do we paskin like this, leniency for Adam Chashev? Do we not paskin like this, leniency for an Adam Chashev? I don't want to go into it now. But let's go to the next piece of Gemara. The next piece of Gemara continues straight away, and says Tana. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, and this sort of puts into context the previous statement, which was also the same person, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He said a minute ago, you can't go to a town and marry a girl if you have a different wife in a different town, because we're worried the kids will marry each other. Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says a second statement. Lo yisa adam ishto v'daitu l'gasha. It is prohibited to marry a woman if mitchila your intent is that you plan on divorcing her. Shenemar al tacharosh al re'acha ra'a. Don't plot in your mind, strategize to do evil. V'hu, meanwhile, that person, v'hu yoshev levetach itach, that person is with you. and is trusting you and thinks everything's great. And meanwhile, in your mind, you're plotting evil things. So it's not fair for her. It's not fair, as the Pasuk in Mishlei, I think it's Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei says that, you know, she's going into this marriage assuming that you love her, you're going to be her wife till death do us part. And here, in your mind, you have, you know, think of this. Think of a person who marries to get a green card. So they're going to be married. They'll marry, a guy will marry her, he'll marry her for 3 months, for 4 months, he'll get the green card, as long as it takes to get the green card. You know, sometimes it's 2 months, sometimes it's 11 months, and he'll be happily married to her, you know, and he'll do everything that he has to do as a husband. You know, it's not going to be fictitious, but it's going to be until they get a green card. They'll have a full marriage until, get the green card, and then he's out of here. He'll give her a get, and he'll throw her away, and he'll go on with the rest of his life. Now that he has a green card, he'll, you know, do whatever else he wants. So that would be this a violation of this halacha of marrying a person with the intent mitchila to divorce a person. Now I want to take a step back and give a little perspective on a little perspective on the idea of marriage for a very short time as follows. Let's say a man wants to be with a certain woman. So, according to Torah law, the only way to do that is to marry her. So what would happen, let's say a man would say, okay, I have to marry a woman. If I want to be with her, the only way I could be with her is I'll marry her. I'll marry her, I'll get what I want, and then I'll dump her. So, does that work? I mean, putting this aside, that is exactly the reason why the Chachamim established the Torah, or the Chachamim established the halacha of a ksuva. That is exactly what a ksuva. What is a ksuva? Chazal say in the Gemara Ksuvos, Shelo yehei kal be'enav lahotzia. If a person knows, I'm going to marry this woman to get what I want, then I'll dump her. Because that's the only way he could be with her, right? So that's the only way he'll have to do it with a marriage, with a ksuva, and a ksuva is part of that. Well, if he's going to do that, then he's going to have to pay $15,000, $25,000. If he decides to work in that with that perverted mindset, so he's going to end up costing himself $25,000 to pay her ksuva. So what's the point of Chachamim instituting the ksuva mitchila? The point of the ksuva was to ascertain that when a woman goes into marriage, she has a confidence knowing that her husband's in it for the long haul, and that she doesn't have to be surprised the day after the wedding or the day after the honeymoon that he's going to drop her. Because if he drops her, he's going to have to get rid of her. He's also going to have to drop $25,000 to pay her ksuva. And most normal people, unless they're fabulously wealthy and they have a very small ksuva, but usually if it's a fabulous wealthy person, certainly among the Sfaradim, those Sfaradim family will say, okay, you're a millionaire, we want $1 million ksuva. That's how it used to be. So the point of the ksuva is really to ensure that every woman could go into a Jewish marriage with the absolute confidence knowing her husband's going to be there for her basically forever. Because otherwise it just doesn't pay for the man to do it. So what Chazal did by instituting ksuva, if you think about it, they were really very much forward-thinking and progressive. Again, I tell couples this, the concept of a ksuva, when I marry them, especially people coming from less religious backgrounds, they're blown away by the fact that the point of a ksuva, as I just described, is really something that gives the woman the confidence and the, they're always worried about commitment. The men can't commit, men don't have the same level of commitment that a woman has. So the ksuva was Chazal's way to ensure that the level of commitment would be there at least $25,000 worth of commitment or whatever the value of the ksuva is. Okay, but that's just a sidebar as far as somebody who just wants to marry just for a day or to get that. But in terms of a person wanting to marry for example, to get a green card, so that is also. But if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, the reason why you can't marry to get a green card and then drop her after you got your green card is based on this pasuk in Mishlei, Al tacharosh areacha rea ra'a, v'hu yosh lebetach itach. They're assuming everything's great. What happens if you tell somebody originally, you know, sweetheart, I like you, you like me, we're not going to get along too well. You know, our personalities, we're not going to be able to build a family together. We're going to fight too much. but I like you, I like you a little bit. You like me a little bit. Let's get married. It will be good for the green card. And then let's agree right now that after I get my green card, or you get your green card, you know, let's, you know, we'll be married for a year, and after the year, we'll, you know, we'll part our ways, and then we'll find somebody that we're more compatible with one another to actually build a family. So in that case, where both parties agree, so are you violating this pasuk? This pasuk, which is the only reason why you can't marry a woman with the intent to divorce her, is only because there's an unsuspecting victim on the other side. For who Yoshe LeBetach, they're thinking, Baruch Hashem, I'm finally married, I finally found the right one. And then, like, in your mind, you're thinking, like, yeah, I'm going to drop her 3 months later, 5 months later, 11 months later. There's that deceit factor. That's what the Pasuk Mishlei is talking about. It's talking about deceit. But if there's no deceit, if both parties agree, you know, the simple reading of the Gemara, based on the rationale of the Gemara, the Pasuk, sounds like, you know, if you want to marry somebody and both parties agree, for whatever purposes of convenience or whatever other the cheshbonos are, that if you want to have a, you know, temporary marriage, it should seem okay, I would think, based on this Gemara. Okay, so this was the Gemara. This is the Gemara Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin, and now let's bring it halach lemaisa. So comes the Rambam and speaks out this point that this diak that we just made in the Gemara. The Rambam says, Paskins in Yisri Biachaf Aleph Hachalacha Chavches, Asa LaAdam Lisa Isha, V'daitel Garsha. You can't marry a woman if you intend to divorce her. Shenemar Al Tachrosh Areacha Ra V'Hu Yoshe LeBetach Itach. You can't plot against somebody and they assume that nothing's happening. They don't assume that there's nothing wrong. Which is exactly what the Gemara says. And based on that, the Rambam now adds this winner line, which the Gemara did not have. Vim hodia betchila shunosi asal yamim. But if you inform her initially from the outset that you're only marrying her for a short time, mutter, it is mutter, wow. So this Rambam is actually making that same diuk we just made, and the Rambam is coming out that if you tell her ahead of time, you know, you post on your shidduch web, you know, on all the shidduch websites, you post on your posting, seeking, you know, instead of a long-lasting relationship, seeking a marriage for a short-term marriage, or seeking a marriage until I get my green card. If, as long as you're up front, and there's no deceit, the Rambam is saying that it is mutar l'chatchila. The issue is not, there's no problem essentially to have a short-term marriage. It's the deceit that is the problem. It is the, one person is assuming it's for a few months, the other person is so happy to fall in, you know, that I have somebody to take care of me for the rest of my life. That's the problem. But if both people are on the same page, and for whatever convenience or technical reasons or legal reasons or, you know, emotional reasons, you know, they're going through a hard time emotionally, you know, a guy lost his father, and she lost her mother the same year. They need somebody to talk to and to be emotional, you know, for during the year of Avelis, they need someone to talk to and give them chizuk. So they'll figure they'll get married to somebody who's a similar situation, and it works for them. As long as they both agree ahead of time, it's mutter. That's the Pesach of the Rambam. Now, let's jump straight ahead into the two Se'ifim in the Shulchan Aruch, which will be the last two Se'ifim in Sif Beis. And with this, this will be the conclusion of Sif Beis and Be'ez Hashem, Simen Beis, and Be'ez Hashem next week will begin Simen Gimel. Be'ez Hashem. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Simen Beis Sif Yud. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Lo Yisa Adam Isha V'day Tel Garsha. You're not allowed to marry a woman with the intent to divorce her. And doesn't quote the Pasuk, because this is the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't have to give the reasons. But he paskins the kula of the Rambam based on the Pasuk. Vim hodia tchila shunosi asal yomim yiduim? If he informs her originally that he is marrying her for yomim yiduim, mutter. It's mutter if you say that there's going to be a time frame. I just noticed right this second, I think it's a very important point. Could you look clearly, please look very clearly at these words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, because the Shulchan Aruch adds one word that I think it's a significant word. The Rambam said originally, "Imhodia betchila shunosi osal yomim." If you inform her that you're only marrying her temporarily, it's mutter. How does the Shulchan Aruch, who's quoting the Rambam, quotes the Rambam but adds one word? "Imhodia betchila shunosi osal yomim yiduim." Then it's mutter. If you tell her that you're marrying her for a certain amount of time, It's mutter. What word did the Shulchan Aruch add? The word Yiduim. Oops, one second. The word Yiduim. They both say if you marry her temporarily, it's mutter. No. But the Shulchan Aruch says if you marry her, if you inform her that you marry her for a set amount of time, it doesn't just say sweetheart, I like you, sort of. You like me, sort of. Let's get married temporarily. That's what the Rambam says. The Shulchan Aruch says it's only going to be mutter if you tell her, I want to marry you for 6 months. I think that's a very important addition that the Shulchan Aruch says. Because, you know, let's say the guy and the girl, they both agree that, you know, they don't want to build a family together, but they'll be married for a while together. His idea of a while is, you know, 3 months till I get the green card. Her idea of a while is, you know, 3-4 years until I have to build a family. So you're still in trouble. She still has different expectations. They both agree temporarily. So, or if you the strict reading of the Rambam, it's fine. No, the Shulchan Aruch is worried that she'll still get caught in a bad situation because she thinks her idea of temporarily is temporarily. His idea of temporarily is temporarily, you know, really short. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch adds that fascinating word, Yiduim, that there has to be a meeting of minds as for how long they plan their marriage to be. If they both agree on that time frame, then it's mutter. Even the Shulchan Aruch will pass, then it's mutter. Great. Let's continue. The next half that we're going to talk about is now, we finished that section in terms of temporary marriages. Now we're going to talk about so if two parties agree, and they could agree on a time frame, and they want to do it for legal purposes, for green card, again, they're going to live like husband and wife. Doesn't mean that, again, I don't mean that you're allowed to do something illegal, God forbid. I don't mean that you're allowed to do something that's against the law. I'm just saying if two parties want to marry for a certain amount of time, for whatever technical or reasons that they want to do it, as long as both are on the same page with the same time frame, it is permitted. Now let's go to the second half of this year. And that is what we're going to spend a little bit more time on. And that is the following. Are you allowed to have a second wife in a different city? Now, of course, you're going to tell me you're not allowed to have a second wife, so this is a moot point. Hold on, and we'll see why it's not such a moot point. Paskas the Shulchan Aruch. Lo yisa adam isha b'medina zu. You shouldn't be married to one wife in one city. V'yelech v'yisa isha acheres b'medina acheres. And go to another city to marry another woman. What's the problem? Shemi yizdavgu habanim zelezeh. We're worried that you'll have a child from each. You'll have a boy from one wife. You'll have a girl from the other wife in the other city. They won't know each other. God forbid, the boy will meet the girl. The sister will marry the brother. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this kula that we saw, which we're not going to focus on now. If you have a kid who's going to be named Kennedy, or you have a kid who's going to be named Ben Rav Nachman, and everyone's going to, you know, it's not going to come to this problem because a person who's so proud of his yichus is going to keep that name associated with him and will never go out with a girl who has the same, you know, a guy is Kennedy and she's a Kennedy, they're not going to go out with each other. So if a guy is Ben Rav and she's Bas Rav, they're not going to go out with each other. That would be mutter. Now, I want to ask you a very simple question. You're not allowed to marry a wife in one city and a wife in another city. Okay, I can't marry two wives anyway, so it doesn't bother me so much. Can I ask you a question? What happens if you divorced your wife in the city A? You're living in New York, you get divorced, and you get a shidduch, and you move to California to start a new life, you meet a nice girl in California, and you build a family in California. Now, the concern that we just had, that a boy from one city will marry his sister from another city, applies just as much even after they're divorced. What are we worried about? We're worried about if you're the father of a child in one city and you're the father of a child in another city, those two kids can meet. I don't care if you're married to the women at the same time or not. It doesn't matter. You were thinking, I mean, when I was, you know, the Gemara, it sounds like, oh, I have multiple wives. Every city I go to, I have another wife. No. I marry a wife in one city, I divorce her. I go to another city and I marry a wife. That should have the same exact issue. According to this, it should come out that if a person had children and gets divorced, he should not be able to go get married in any other city. He should have to be bound and tied down to the city that he had his first children in, and shouldn't be able to build a life in another city. And that's quite a statement, because I think we all know people who got divorced, and after the divorce, they needed a new, fresh start. They moved to another city, and they built another family in another city. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, we should be very concerned about the possibility of a child from one marriage marrying a sibling from that second marriage in the other city. They don't know about each other. I mean, if it's all the same city, you marry one girl in New York and they get divorced, and you marry another girl in New York, they all, everybody, you could find out easily about, you know, the families. But if it's two cities, how should you know? So this is an issue, a question that is raised in the Pesachei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says that this whole point seems to not be so nogei l'maisa, because there's no, we have chayim rabbein rogesh, we don't have multiple wives. So I don't have to worry about a wife in one city and a wife in another city, because we don't have multiple wives. The Sefer Beis Meir, Kosav, he quotes the Sefer Beis Hillel, Da'idna she'enosim shtei nashim, ein nafkamina gedola b'dinza. There's not much of a nafkamina with the fact that you can't marry multiple wives in multiple cities, because you can't have multiple wives. Now he's going to get to our point. The MS. Shaloshin ha-Gemara v'ha-Rambam. If you look just straight, the way the Gemara says the word, says this halacha, the way the Rambam quotes this halacha, lo yisa isha b'medina zu v'isha b'medina acheres, that phrase, it sounds like, don't marry a woman here and marry a woman there. It sounds like while you're still married to that first person. Mashma dafka b'nose alishto. It sounds like you're married to woman A, don't also marry another wife in place B. From the language of the Gemara, it doesn't sound like we're talking about a case, lo b'meisa on iskarsha, af sheyesh lo banim imena. It sounds like, again, if a man is widowed, just the way the Gemara presents itself, it sounds like you're married to one, don't marry a second wife. But just the flow of the language doesn't sound like it's also applying to to a person who was widowed from his first wife and now builds a new family in a second city. Why? I mean, the logic should be there. There's the same problem whether you're married simultaneously to two women in two cities or you're divorced or widowed from the first wife and now living in another city, building a new family. The concern should be an equal concern. The chash that you're going to marry a daughter of yours in one city and the son from yours in the second city might meet one another. That should be equal whether you're married to the two wives simultaneously or one after the other because of a death or divorce. Why does the Gemara sound like it's only a problem if it's a simultaneous marriage? He's going to say Echidish now. Vatam Yeshlomar, Mishim Da'az Al Harov, normally, when you are, if a man suffers a death of his wife, he's widowed, he's widowered, I guess, or divorced, he's usually going to bring his kids with him to the next city. And therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Mishum da'az al harov molech banav haktanim imal. If your wife died in the first city, and you're going to build a, and you find somebody nice on some dating website in a different city, in California, so if you're moving to California to build a new family, you're probably going to take your kids with you, right? Well, that makes sense, gentlemen, when it comes to the, if the first wife died. But is this going to be true in our time when the marriage ended with divorce? Nowadays, the judges are much more into, you know, closer to 50-50 custody. But there's no question that the women often, if it's going to be here in one city or another city, it's usually the women who are going to have the custody. So if a person gets divorced in New York, and then he moves to California to find a new, to build a new family in California, there's a good chance that the children from the first marriage are going to be living where? With their mother in New York. So I'm really nervous now. The whole heter, he says, why, theoretically nowadays, you could assume, we're not so worried about this if there's a death or divorce, that the daughter from one city will marry the son from the other city, is because anyway, the boy, when the man moves, the man is going to take his children with him. And therefore, we don't have to worry that they're not, the two families are not, the two sets of children will not know about each other, because he's going to take his first set of children, bring them into the new city, and create a beautiful blended family with the children from his first wife and the children from his new wife. But that's not really... And therefore, it's going to be mutter to have, to marry a woman in a second city. That's not true, Bizman Hazah. We don't have this kula. This is a little frightening. According to this logic, that the whole heter is that you're probably going to bring your children from the first wife to the second city, that's only true if the first wife died. But if the first wife was divorced, then there's no reason to be matir you when you go to another city, because your children from the first wife are probably going to stay with your ex-wife, and you're going to go to the new city and build a new family, and we have the same concern. The children might not know each other. This is very frightening.
If they separated physically, then they usually will still have a relationship and communication between them.
We're going to talk about that later.
Isn't custody of male children usually awarded to the father in halacha?
Doesn't matter male or female children, because maybe he had a daughter from the first wife and he's going to have a boy from the second wife and they're going to marry each other. So I don't want to get into that, A, and B, even if I would, it might not make a difference. Okay. Could you hear me clearly through the audio? Okay, yeah. Great. Fine. But let's look a little bit more clearly at this svara that the Beis Meir is putting forth. He's saying that normally, if there's a death or a divorce, it's not just you have two wives in two different places, you're all over the place. No, you have two, there was a death or divorce. So he says most of the time you take your children with you. So therefore we don't have to be worried that there's some other kid in a different city that doesn't know my new kids. Since that's the normal case, continues the Pesach Chuvin says, and because it's so uncommon, you see what he's doing? He's trying to fix our problem a little bit. He says, obviously, once in a while, you do leave the kids by the first wife's family or by the first wife. Sometimes that does happen, but since it's so uncommon, it's a milsa de shchicha, and therefore they were never goes there in the case of mesa or niskasha, which means like this. Sometimes it happens that, let's say, you have a young couple, and they have three little kids. They have three little babies. And the wife, Rahman al-Islam, passes away at a young age. She dies, she's 27 years old, Rahman al-Islam, two, three little kids. And everybody realizes this man has to, go build a family and build a wife. So who's going to take care of these kids? The man has to go to work. The man has to maybe, go out of town, or he ends up meeting a girl who's out of town, and that's obviously what has to be done. But who's going to watch the little kids? So often, the mother of, the family of this 27-year-old Nifteres, her mother's not too old. She's a young woman. She's in her late 40s. Her husband's in his late 40s, early 50s. They're still young. They have the energy. They could take care of these little kids. So maybe you leave it by her family. Or in the case of Grusha, there is once in a while that you do leave the children by the Grusha. And therefore, but since it's a minority of cases, Chachamim never made their gzera that you shouldn't marry in a different city, because it's very rare to leave the kids at home. I'm just speaking out loud with you. I think nowadays, where primarily, if you have a choice of custody, it's most of the time going to go in a divorce. It's more often than not, if there's one person the custody is going to go to, again, all things being equal, there's a better chance that the first wife will get custody than the husband taking them out with the children with him. So this svara is a little bit concerning. But somebody, maybe it was Dr. Hollander, mentioned a svara that we're going to find in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan has a long arichas about this case and this concern. So we're going to see a few points in the Aruch HaShulchan. Point number one is not what we're going to focus on, but you remember we said that even though we're worried about somebody, having a wife in two different cities, except if he's famous. Adam gadol sheshmo yadua v'zar mefursim achrav mutter, because you're not going to have a problem. Delo yavoli detakola. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. He says, first of all, you should know, yesh mir abba sena shecholken hazeh. I didn't want to go into it, but there are some achronim, again, not going into who they are, some rishonim and achronim, who say that we don't have this special leniency for an adam chashuv to have multiple wives in multiple cities. Fine, but let's put that aside. Then he raises the question that we're asking. He raises the question that we're concerned with. Hine. Af gam bizmanenu she'asu lisa shtei nashim. Even though nowadays we don't have the option to marry multiple wives, so the fundamental issue is not really present. But there still is the concern of having multiple wives in a case of death or divorce. Yesh gam kechash zeh, that there's going to be a brother and a sister unwittingly meeting one another. Kishe yigarish ishto o tomus v'yisa yisha b'dina acheres. We're still worried. Yisa ach achoso v'lo shamar me'olam shizor b'zeh. I never heard in any of my travelings, in any of my halachic literature, I never heard that people, after they get divorced, are bound by halacha to stay in the same city. I never heard that. That after a person's widow, they have to stay in the same city. Never heard that. But according to halacha, that's what should come out. So we learned together the Pisrei Tshuva quote of the Beis Meir. That's what he's going to quote here. That's what we said, that most of the time you carry, take the son with you, so we're not worried that there's going to be a son in one place and a daughter in another place. But I don't think that's true, says the Aruch HaShulchan. This is our question. Vein hatam maspik. That's not a sufficient answer. Isn't it quite common when you have a divorce that the kids stay by their first mother, by their mother, and don't necessarily travel with the husband who's going to go? I mean, I know cases where there are divorces and the kids are with the mother and the father's in a different city. I know cases in this neighborhood. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's question. Why aren't we worried that the kids from the first wife, the ex, are staying with the mother, the father's now going to some other city, is going to marry a new wife and build a new family? Why aren't we worried that those two kids are going to meet each other? So he says, maybe he'll say that the Jewish community is so small that everybody knows each other in a given city. And therefore, if everybody knows, you know, in a given city, everybody's famous. Look, it's this funny svara. He's going to reject it, but let's just see what the svara that he puts forth. Since we live in small, tiny villages, every Jew in the city is well known. And therefore, maybe you have the kula. You remember the kula? The Gemara told us that if somebody is well known, then then it's mutter to marry in a different city. That's not. We're not all in tiny villages, and I don't think everyone is well known. Not everyone in New York City is well known. There are a million Jews in New York City. Okay, let's put that aside. And he has a new svar. This, Dr. Hollander, this is what you wanted to put forth. V'nir li tamacher b'zeh. Second, let me get this highlighted. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, I think there's a different heter that after a death or divorce, you are allowed, the man is permitted to move to a different city, to build a family in a different city, and we're not going to be worried about the children of the ex and the children of the new wife meeting. Why? What's a beidoar? The postal service, right? Beidor, the door, Beidor, the modern Hebrew also, the door, the postal service. Mimaheris larutz, b'chol yom, b'chol ha'olam, right? The Pony Express runs all over the world, every day. V'kimach ezeh rachok mimetzias, if there's a father in one place and his son is somewhere else, guess what? They probably write each other letters. And they probably know about each other, and therefore the families are going to know about each other. The father, when he marries his new wife in California and has a baby, I just had a girl, he's going to write a letter to his son from the first wife and say, my dear Yankala, my dear beloved Yankala, it's my son. Guess what? I get a mazel tov. My new wife just had a baby girl, a baby daughter. So that's enough to make sure that, you know, they know that there's, they better be careful. You're going to get letters from one another. In Cain, and therefore, the children will know about the existence of the other families. It won't be mysterious from them. It won't be hidden from them. This brotherliness, this brotherhood, this fact that they have a sibling. They realize that there are siblings in another country or another city, and therefore, because of the postal service knocked out this halacha, because the whole halacha is that there's not going to be an awareness. The boy won't know of the existence of his sister. The sister won't know of the existence of her half-brother. And they'll come to marry each other. But once you have postal service, that takes out this, that knocks out this halacha. Certainly Kal v'chomer nowadays, when we have, you know, instant messaging, we have emails and text messages and phone calls and, you know, halachas kama v'kama 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 v'kama, you don't have the concern of people not knowing, because there's the instant communication. You know, 3 seconds later that you had a stepbrother born, that you have a stepsister born. So that, I think, is a fascinating application of modern day technology, literally knocking out a halacha from the Shulchan Aruch. Not because the halacha has changed, but because the metzius has changed. The Shulchan Aruch is based on a lack of awareness in another city, and the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us, but nowadays, we all know about what happens in other cities. It used to be that there was no communication from city to city, so nobody would know that they had that their father, who left them years ago, had another daughter. They wouldn't know, or another son. Nowadays, we know. That's the main point that I wanted to share with you from the Aruch HaShulchan. I want to finish off this shiur with an incredible Achiezer. Chaim Ozer. Apparently, there's a new biography that just came out about Reb Chaim Ozer, and it's supposed to be a fabulous biography because it's very historical. It's not, I think the word is hagiographic. It's very historical, and it also gives context to the turmoils, the political and the social turmoils that were happening during the time period when Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski lived, in the earlier half of the 1900s of the 20th century. And if you get your hands on it and you read it, it should be very interesting. It has some very interesting accounts of the personalities like Reb Chaim Brisk and other personalities, Gedolim of that time in history, with very historical, responsible reporting. At the same time, showing what a great Gadol he was. I think there's my brother told me that he had heard, I don't remember from who, that the Achiezer was ambidextrous. And not only was he able to write with two hands, but his brilliance was so beyond phenomenal that he was able to respond to two tshuvas. He was able to write two tshuvas simultaneously, one with his right hand and one with his left hand, which is...
I had a European rabbi, who saw him, that he in fact was writing tshuvas with different hands, talking to my rabbi, and listening to a third guy saying over from Sefer at the same time.
Wow. Okay, that's... Wow, that's incredible. So your Rebbe learned or had a shaykhus to the Achiezer, Reb Chaim Ozer.
Yeah, he was a Talmud in Barnabich, and then he knew Chabas Chaim, and he knew all the literature Gedol, yes.
Wow. And the Achiezer would answer two shaylas, one in each hand, while he's talking to your Rebbe, and while he's listening to somebody else.
I was saying over him a safer.
Wow, okay. Okay, I guess we could all feel very small right now, and we could realize we have a lot to aspire to, and an appreciation. So maybe with that, we'll appreciate this tshuva of the Achiezer a little bit more. He's talking about a tshuva, which is a frightening and a very sad tshuva. And does anyone know where Elmora is? Where is the city of Elmora? Elmora, it's somewhere in America. Elmora. I've heard of the city. Mr. Bergman, where is it?
There's an Elmira in northern New York State, right? Elmira.
Okay.
That's close to that.
There's a song, How Are Things in Glacamora? That's something else.
That's in Ireland.
Right. My brother used to like Irish music. Okay. So Elmora. So somebody who's going to quickly look on Google and look up where Elmora is, I'm going to start the tshuva. You have a terrible, a very sad story. The sad story is that you have a guy, an American guy named Yisrael, son of Yehuda Leib, in the city of Elmora. And unfortunately, his wife, I don't know if it was severe Alzheimer's or she just went nuts, and she was institutionalized because she lost her marbles. It could be that she just had severe Alzheimer's, severe dementia, and she was in a nursing home, or it was more than that. Maybe it was in a psychiatric center, I don't know. She was put in a...
Elmira Psychiatric Center.
Okay, but I don't know if there's a... This guy was living in the Elmira Psychiatric Center is a New York State facility for people who are, for all of the people in New York State who need to go to a psychiatric center. Here the truth is about a guy who's living in Elmora. So, okay, could be. But, and now his wife is in a base meshugaim, unfortunately. She's in a, presumably that means some kind of psychiatric facility. Or maybe a nursing home. And they assume that she's never going to recover. V'achrei ki l'das harofim ein l'trufa. One step, I'm sorry. So you know what they decided to do? Look at this. You know what they did? They decided, I think what he's saying is that once the family realized that she's never going to get better, they sent this woman back to Europe, to her family in Europe. So again, this shaila could be from, you know, 90 years ago, before the war. I assume that means in Europe, but okay. Now, is this guy going to be able to get married? He can't give her a get because she's not fit to receive a get. So is he allowed to get married, Rabbi Osei? Well, this goes back to the sugya that we learned together about Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. Does Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom apply? Oh, he's going to need a Hetem Mei Rabbanim. That's what we learned. And that's exactly what the Rabbanim Paskin. The Rabbanim Paskin, that a husband of a woman who went nuts is permitted, Lisa Ishalish, is allowed to marry a second wife. So we learned that sugya together. 100 Rabbanim, Meir Heter, Meir Rabbanim, and they all have to be from three different countries. We learned that. The question is, Ulam Benidon Didan, Shehuba America of Ishtu Bevedina Seder. The problem is, the wife has been shipped back to the family in let's say, Lita. And the husband is in Elmora. So that means if he's going to take a wife in Elmora or wherever else he moves in America, he's going to have one wife in Lita and a second wife in Elmora or LA or New York or Chicago or Miami. So he's going to have two wives. He's not allowed to have that. He's not allowed to have two wives. L'chora m'makom l'fakpeik da'asu l'alisu isha b'America. We just learned together, the Gemara says explicitly, you can't have a wife, two wives, in two different locations in the world because of this concern. And that's exactly the shayla that we have here, Rachmana Litzlan. What a terrible shayla. This guy is not going to be able to get married. He is only, according to halacha, all he should have to move to Lita. He has a business in Elmora. He has a carpet store in Elmora. I don't know, I'm making that up. And he's going to have to sell his business, move to Lita, to the city where his wife is, you know, his wife's in-law, where his in-laws are, and build a new family in Lita. Could you imagine that? Now, what's the heter? You say, oh, but we had the heter that if you're divorced or widowed, then this gzeru was never made. I'm sorry, he's not divorced and he's not widowed. He has two wives. He has two wives beheter with Meheter Mei Rabbanim because she's crazy and there's no other option. But the Isser still applies. So the Achiez is going to give three svaras to permit this situation, permit this man to marry where he lives in America or in any other city in America. First of all,
aren't the children with him if she's insane?
But there's still the gzeira, meaning you're going into the ta'am hadavar, and you say the reason doesn't apply. The reason doesn't apply, but the gzeira is still a gzeira. So, and the gzeira was only, let's say, uprooted. If we take the base mayor that we saw earlier, so okay, they didn't make that gzeira in a case of divorce, because the children always go with the father. They don't make the gzeira when the children, when the parents are widowed, when the father's widowed, because he takes the children with him. But here, it's a regular case of a man with two wives, just like Dina de Gemara, and two wives are in different cities. Nira lefi hamavur b'gemara, sham. Shaini rabban de pekiyah shemayhu. Remember we saw that kula, that if somebody is well known, and is going to carry the name, he's going to be the Rockefeller, the Rothschild, the Ben Rav Nachman, this child is the son of Rav, the great Rav, then that's going to be mutter, because everybody knows who they're from. Ah, wait a second. Listen, this is brilliant. This is so simple and so brilliant. You just signed a Heter Mei Rabbanim in three countries. This guy is so famous. I know myself of a Heter Mei Rabbanim. Why? Because it was famous. By the fact that there's a Heter Mei Rabbanim that is allowing him to marry a second wife, by definition, he's famous. There are 100 rabbis around the world who know about this story. And you think the rabbi isn't going to say to his shul, there are 100 shuls around the world, the rabbi is going to give a shiur on a Sunday morning saying, guys, you'd never imagine what just happened to me. I just got the coolest shaila, and I just had to sign a Heta Meir Rabbanu. I want to give shiur on Heta Meir Rabbanu for the next 3 weeks. You can have 100 shuls around the world with 100 rabbis who all know this guy and this case. So that's a great way to say that he's famous. Right? The whole heter is, oh, rabbis are famous, and the kid, they'll all know who the kids are, because the person's famous. Well, guess what? If there's a heter meir rabbanim, the guy's going to be famous. That's a fabulous svar, isn't it?
That also plays into why you need the meir rabbanim in different places.
Well, I don't think that's because of the din of allowing a person to have... You're saying that it's funny because we learned the Heter Meir Rabbanim very thoroughly. We spent a lot of time on that sugya. We never saw the svara that we bedafka want to have 100 people in 3 different locations because that will make it famous and therefore enable the man to have a wife in another location. You're saying a great svara. I wonder why none of the Achronim said that when we in the sugya of Heter Meir Rabbanim. You're raising a good point, but your logic I think is strong. Okay, that's cooler number one. Now, the next point that the Achiezer makes is a very interesting point. He says, I'll prove to you that... Okay, let's skip that. Let's go straight to the second cooler. Second cooler. When you have a Heter Meir Rabbanim, are you allowed to go back to your first wife? Let's say your first wife went nuts. So you got a Heter Meir Rabbanim and allowed you to marry a second wife. You hear 3 years in rehab, she had got a good psychiatrist, and she's back to that moody woman who you loved. Could you now go back to your first? You have a second wife, and you love your second wife, and everything, you have a great marriage, but you also have a first wife. You got a Heter Meir Rabbanim.
I think we said when we learned it that you have to now give her a guest.
Right, but you didn't, for whatever reason. Like, for example, she was crazy, so you couldn't give her a get. I know you mean that you set up a get to be given to her when she becomes normal. That is correct. That you do have to be mashlish a get, so that if she does heal, if she does have a refuah, there will be a get waiting for her. But they didn't give it yet. So I know you are married to 2 women. Are you allowed to go back to your first wife? Now that you got a head to take your second wife, it's bedamba heter. Can you go back to your first wife? Says Reb Chaim Ozer, no, you're not allowed to go back to her. That's part of Chayei Rabbeinu Gershom. Ah, and therefore I have the following svara. V'kol she'eina re'uya v'asura lo, ein ze bichlal ha'gzeirut lo yisa ish al ishto. The gzeirut that Chazal made was, you shouldn't marry a woman and take another woman. But if you're not even allowed to go back to that first woman, you're only allowed to be married to the second woman. You're not allowed to go back to the first woman. Maybe that's not part. Again, there's a new svara. This is the Achiezer's new svara. We haven't seen this anywhere. We haven't seen anyone mention this. We don't really understand why it should be. He's just saying that maybe that when Chazal instituted this gzeru d'rabanan, don't have a wife in place A and a wife in place B, that only is referring to a case where you could be married to both of them. But once you got the Heter Meir Rabbanim to allow you to be married to the second one, you're now no longer allowed to go back to the wife number one. And maybe Chachamim never made their gzera when they said don't have wife in place A and place B. They never made their gzera, a place where you, in a circumstance where you're not allowed to go back to wife number one. Maybe that's a new svara. We haven't seen that, but okay.
What does that have to do with the concern we have?
No, it doesn't have to do anything with the concern that maybe one child would meet another child, but we're still working with the parameters of a takana d'rabbanan that will, if it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. Finally, a third svar lahakel. A third svara. Benidon di nadan nira lefiha uvda shahaisa ito yachad beAmerica. Now he's going to see a very interesting svara. Now the shaila that he had, that the Achiezer had, was that they were living together in El Mora, and they were together for 12, and she was already institutionalized, and he was still living in America. It's not like the second she was sent to the institution, he, you know, moved to California to get remarried. He was living in Elmora, and she was institutionalized wherever it was. Maybe it was Elmira, the psychiatric center, maybe not. And he was still living there for whatever amount of time until he wanted to put his life together. You know, you can imagine when these terrible things happen, it takes a little while to put oneself together until he realizes that he has to move on, till he gets a heter mirabban. That could take a year or two. So there was a certain amount of time that he was still living with, he was still in the same city, I guess, or the same area as his first wife, before the possibility of moving on and going to another city began. So therefore, suggest the Achiezer, again, it's his svara, came in the Daru Yachad, maybe since they're living in the same city, this first wife and the husband, even after she's incapacitated, what's the problem? The problem is you leave a wife here and you're going to go somewhere else. I'm not sure I understand this, Svara. What's the problem? You're going to leave a wife here and you're going to go somewhere else where you're going to have a son there and a kid there and a kid there, the two different places they're going to marry each other. But in this case, he's together with his first wife for a little while. Only afterwards, v'davka b'manicha b'medina zu, mitchila, v'yelech levada b'medina chayas, and then he moves to somewhere else. I'm not sure what he's saying. Maybe what he's saying is that who moved here? The one who moved wasn't him. He didn't go to another city. He's living in the city. She was sent back to Lita. So that's not the gzeir. The gzeir was that you can't have a wife and leave your wife and go to another city and build another family, you know, meet another woman and marry another wife in another city. The man can't go from here to there. But the case, again, I don't have the rest of the tshuva in front of me right this second. I cut it out, but I don't really understand what he's saying, this last svara. But maybe the svara is that in this shaila, they sent the woman back to her family in Lita. The woman was the one who traveled. So she was the one who left. Maybe that they didn't, the chacham didn't make it. They made it in a very specific scenario. You have a wife here, you move away, and you take a wife there. That's the circumstance, the situation where chacham made their gzera. But in the case that we're describing, the shaya that was presented to the Achiezer, where the woman moved back, again, I'm saying this, I don't know if this is what he's saying, that's just not bechlal the gzera. If anyone has a better way of reading this number three.
I think his leaving her, he sort of burns his past, nobody knows where he came from, there's a woman out there in another part. Here, the woman, they live together, made a call where he is, and that's where presumably he's staying. So it's known that he had a wife.
Okay, so if we leave it like that, let's say he stays in Elmora. Let's say he doesn't go to California after this. He stays in Elmora.
Yeah, that's what I'm
fine. Saying. Fine, you're right. I think what you're saying is right. Yeah, so let's leave it like you're saying. I think then it fits perfectly. Okay, so he's going to stay in Elmora, and she, this lady, is shipped back to Lee.
The general case, the standard case of a husband and wife in the Scarsha, and the woman moves away, and he stays in the same town.
Yeah, so if the guy, the only Ister, says the Achiezer, is when he picks up and moves to somewhere else. But if he stays in this town, and everyone knows who he is, everyone knows, oh, the terrible, sad story of the, you know, the this such and such family, it's so sad, his wife went nuts, she had to be institutionalized, everybody knows the story. So now, a few years later, 3 years after this terrible episode happens, he rebuilds, builds a new family, based on his Heter Merabanim, in the town of Elmora. Everyone in Elmora knows, you know, about this terrible story that happened here 3 years ago with this guy in this town. So now that he builds a new family in this town, there should be no problem. Yeah, that's the svar. So based on this, concludes the Achiezer, there are another host of other shailas. Hinani nimnim hamatirim lahatira. I permit this man to remarry. That is the psak of the Achiezer. And you see a frightening shaila, but you could see that we have, again, the more broad-ranging Heter of the Aruch HaShulchan, who says that you have the postal service basically mitigate the concern for international or marriages in different places. But you see some other svaras lahakel that the Achiezer put forth. So I want to thank everybody.
You also see that.